Rabbi Aaron Kimchi, Chassidei Umes Ha'olam. Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Welcome to our Tabeis HaKnesses. Big Yasher Keach to the organizers of Torah Way, bringing everyone together to learn Torah on our bank holiday. I decided, as the fourth speaker, after three previous excellent speakers, it'd be a good idea to have a page of text, help us to focus a little bit on a topic which is somewhat complex, but I think very fascinating. The subject is Chassidei Umos Ha'olam. Chassidei Umos Ha'olam is a phrase that we have heard in our generation used in a very unusual way. I'll explain to you what I mean. This phrase, Chassidei Umos Ha'olam, originates in Chazal. It's brought down by the Rambam and the Rishonim many times, and yet I want to show you that the way it's used by Chazal has got almost nothing at all to do with the way that we use it nowadays. The phrase Chassidei Umos Ha'olam, one could even say, has been reinvented in the 20th century to mean something else entirely. And I'd like to show you what the original concept meant and what the contemporary concept means. The way it's used nowadays, I'm sure many of you have heard, relates to members of non-Jewish communities who have acted in a particularly heroic, courageous way and risked their lives to save Jews under difficult times of persecution, particularly in Holocaust times. I was told, according to documentation, that there are currently 22,765 people, non-Jews, who have been awarded the title of Chassidei Umos Ha'olam by the Yad Vashem organization. Each time it's awarded as a ceremony, and it corresponds pretty much to the Jewish Order of Merit, something like getting a knighthood of some sort, or getting an honor of some sort, where the Jewish people want to find some way to recognize the courage and the virtue of people who risk their lives under impossible circumstances to save Klal Yisrael. My wife's family comes from Holland, and it's happened a few times that we've been to Simchas in Holland, Bar Mitzvahs and Chasnas of one sort or another, and often we have found at the top table with the family one or two non-Jewish invitees are sitting at the top table, and it turns out, after some inquiries, that these are people who saved the lives of this family during Holocaust times, and they invite them consistently to their simchas, and they invite their children to their simchas, and they have accepted them really as family members in recognition of their great heroism. And it's certainly not a small matter. If you think about it, I'm not sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't bring us the day in how many people would, in fact, risk their own lives and the lives of their family to hide a fugitive in times of persecution. It requires a tremendous amount of dedication and courage. And to recognize this, there are, some world-famous figures of this nature. People like Oskar Schindler and Raoul Wallenberg were all given the title of Chassidei Umos Ha'olam, and they were celebrated and recognized and thanked. And if you look up, if you Google Chassidei Umos Ha'olam, whether in Hebrew or in English, what you'll get is this list of people who have, in the 20th century, been awarded this title and have been recognized in this important way. I'd like to show you the origins of this concept and see that the original idea is an exceptionally important idea, nothing to do with the way we use it nowadays. And then hopefully I want to show you also what could be the origin and the justification for using these words to describe the people I've just mentioned. So if you'd like to have a look at the text in front of you just for a minute, maybe we'll start with text number 3, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. And just have a look at the first line of this quotation. The Rambam writes, Kol ha-mekabel sheva mitzvahs, by which he means the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, meaning that if a non-Jew accepts upon himself the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, which means primarily that he rejects paganism, he rejects idolatry, he's a God-fearing man, and he adheres to all the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, he's got a basic, if you like, God-driven morality, then the nizha la'aseisam harezeh mechasidei umos olam. Such a non-Jewish person deserves the title of chasidei umos olam. He's a righteous Gentile. The yeshlo chelek la'olam haba. And such a person is invited, has a eternal chelek la'olam haba. His passing away from this world will not be the end of his life. He will join Klal Yisrael in olam haba. This is a very dramatic statement. In other words, we tend to think that Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba, our concept of olam haba is uniquely for Klal Yisrael, and that we tend to think that the non-Jewish world have no access at all to olam haba. Olam haba is something which is uniquely there only for someone who has a neshama of Klal Yisrael. Says the Rambam, that might be true in general, but there is this exception, that if someone is a righteous Gentile, and the definition here is not an act of courage. We're not talking about someone who's done something extraordinary. We're not talking about someone who's done something momentous in saving other people. He's a quiet individual, a God-fearing man living in the middle of Midwestern America, and he believes in God. He believes in God the Creator. He believes in reward and punishment, and he leads a moral life in keeping with the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Says the Rambam, this man is one of the righteous Gentiles and has a chelek and olam haba. The Rambam actually continues in text number 3 to add a caveat, a condition, which is a little complicated, and it's not clear why he adds this and what his sources are, and that's really a subject for a shia beyond the scope of my shia this morning, but let's just have a look at it for a second. The Rambam writes, for who, are you with me? I'm in text number 3, the second line. For who she yekabel oison, the yase oison. The Rambam says, it's not good enough that he simply fulfills the criteria of the 7 Noahide laws. He has to do with a particular motivation. What is his motivation? He has to be someone who believes in the divine origin of the Torah. The Torah is min ha-shamayim. For hodienu al-idei Moshe Rabbeinu. And that this Torah was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. Shebnei Noach mikodem nitzdavu bahem. And that through this Torah and this act of Nevuah, this concept, this code of law of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach has come down to mankind. And that's why he's doing it. In other words, if he's doing it simply because he thinks this is a good moral code, he doesn't really believe in Torah min ha-shamayim, he doesn't believe in the Bible, he doesn't believe in the Old Testament, he believes that, yes, this is a good idea, right? Then, says the Rambam, it may be true to say that such a person is leading a good life. We would certainly applaud his way of life, but he wouldn't have a chelek in the olam haba. Right? Why? Aval imasor mipni hechra hadas. If he did it because he was a moral philosopher, he'd worked out that these are the moral truths of life. Then he says, ein ze ge toisha v'eino mechasidi umas olam v'lo mechach mehem. Now actually, I must tell you that in the various different texts of the Rambam, there's an interesting adjustment which was made over the centuries in this very last line. My CD-ROM, from which I'm taking all these texts, is obviously using an old text of the Rambam. If you look in the newer, in the Shabtai Frankel Rambam, which is the newest version of the Rambam, the last few words will read, Ve'eino mechasidei umos ha'olam, elo mechachomei. Not v'loy mechachomeihem, elo mechachomeihem, which inverts the meaning of this completely, you understand? That what the Rambam is saying according to this text is that not only is he not a ben olam haba, he's also not such a big chacham. Right? But the original manuscript, so the current Rambam scholars assure us, is that what the Rambam is saying is that he's not mechasidi umas olam, elo mechachomeyem. He's just one of their wise men. In other words, he's a wise non-Jew, but he's not a righteous non-Jew. What is this distinction? So again, this is a subject, as I said before, for a larger Shia. But the Mefroshim here understand the Rambam is playing on a concept that we find in Chazal, that in Yomu Lecho Sheyesh Chochma Bagoyim Ta'amin. In Yomu Lecho Sheyesh Torah Bagoyim Al Ta'amin. What does this mean? This means that in the mindset of the non-Jewish world, there is indeed Chochma. And Chochma can mean science. It can mean all different types of wisdom. It can also mean moral philosophy. It can also mean arriving at moral truths. In fact, the Rambam is well known for having believed that Aristotle did reach out of pure seichel. He reached lots of moral truths. But in Yom Rechosh Yesh Torah Bagai, what's the difference with Torah? Torah is not just wisdom, it's the Rotzen Hashem. If you do a mitzvah, a piyat Torah, you're not just doing something because it's a good idea, because it makes sense. You're doing it because, atzei ratzeinu kirtzeinecha, you're doing the Rotzen Hashem. By doing the Rotzen Hashem, you are transforming your act into an act of nitzchius, and that is our connection with Olam Haba. If we're dealing with a chelek l'Olam Haba, this is not just a gift that is given to us as a chelek to have Olam Haba. Our Olam Haba is a direct derivative of the fact that we are doing mitzvahs, that we are aligning our lives with the Rotzen Hashem. So what the Rambam is saying is, if we want a righteous Gentile to have a chelek l'olam haba, he has to be doing things which have at least in them a nitzitz, some little spark of Rotzen Hashem. So the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, he says, do contain that. If he fulfills the seven Noahide laws with the right intention, then he's actually, that is his Mafteach, that is his entry point into Olam Haba, and his Muzman Lachai Olam Haba. If he just does it for philosophical reasons, then he might be a Chacham, but that's got nothing to do with the Chelek Olam Haba. So just to summarize here for a second, we have the Rambam using this term, Chasidei Umas Olam, in its classic Chazal sense, nothing to do with extraordinary courage, nothing to do with doing something of great merit. It's a question of how his lifestyle is regulated. If he does accept the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, then he is a potential for Chelek L'Olam Haba. Now this is interesting, and we find that the Rambam deals with this in several different places. But actually, if you go back into the Gemaras, you will find that there is about this a machlekes tanaim. I want you to have a look just for a minute to text number 4. Let me give you an introduction to text number 4. Text number 4 is a piece of Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is explaining probably the most famous Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which is Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba. That's how the Mishnah begins, right? Everybody knows this Mishnah. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba. What we don't know so well is the second half of the Mishnah, which says, "Ve'elu she'ein lahem chelek l'olam haba." This Mishnah continues and tells us who is not included in olam haba, and it gives us a list of apikorsim of various sorts and kafrim of various sorts, ein lahem chelek l'olam haba. And then later on, it gives us a list of individuals in the Torah who have lost their chelek l'olam haba. And interestingly, in that list is Bilam. Bilam is in the list, in the Mishnah, of people about whom it is said that they haven't got a Chelek Olam Haba. Now, with that piece of information, pick up this piece of Gemara here on text number 4, which is from Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Hayomad Aleph. Says the Gemara, Bilam hu delo osi la almodasi. Obviously, what is being said in the Mishnah is that Bilam forfeited his right to Olam Haba, ho acharini osu. The implication is that other people, and of course what the Gemara here means, other non-Jewish people, don't forget Bilam wasn't a non-Jew, the implication is that other non-Jewish people could have a chelek l'olam haba. Masnisin mani, who could possibly be the author of this Mishnah, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua, this Mishnah uniquely follows the view of Rabbi Yeshua, Tasania Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, because Rabbi Eliezer holds differently. He holds from a pasuk in Tehillim, Yashuv Roshoy Mish'ela Kol Goyim Shichecha Elohim, Yashuv Roshoy Mish'ela Ela Poshe Yisrael. Kol Goyim Shichecha Elohim, Ela Poshe Agoyim Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Exactly what he brings a raya from this pasuk, it needs a bit of understanding, but the Gemara concludes from this, that the concept of a non-Jew having a chelek la'olam haba is the view of Rabbi Yeshua and not of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer were two of the early Tanaim, the Rebbes of Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara here states quite clearly that this is a debated issue, and indeed, if you have a look, if I take you back to text number one on your sheet, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, who says, V'chein kol ha'rashoyim sh'avon ha'seim rubim dalin ozen kvicha tov yeshlem chel olam haba. Any Jew who has done lots of averus, right, he will be accountable for his averus, and he will have to suffer the consequences, but he hasn't forfeited his chelik olam haba, so long as he's still a ma'amin. For the Rambam, you only lose your chelik olam haba if you have violated any of the 13 animamin ikrim. She'kol Yisrael yeshlem chel olam haba, apa pishachatu. Even if a member of Klal Yisrael has sinned, he's still a candidate for Olam Haba. Shenam of Ameh Kulam Tzadikim Olam Yirush Oretz Eretz Zumoshul Kolayma Eretz Achayim. Vu Olam Haba. The word Eretz in this pasuk is a metaphor for Olam Haba. And then the Rambam says, V'chein Chasidei Umos HaOlam Yesh Lahem Chaylek Olam Haba. And similarly, righteous Gentiles, as he's defined in the text we read earlier, a righteous Gentile, one of the Hasidi Umas Olam, who is committed to Shev Mitzvah B'nai Nach, he also has a Chelek L'Olam Haba, provided that he has the right emunas, provided he believes in Torah Min HaShemayim, he believes in Nevuah, he believes that Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Ratzon Hashem down to this world, and that by keeping the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Nach, he is complying with the Ratzon Hashem. That is his Mafteach L'olam haba, says the Kesef Mishnah in text number 2. Can you see this? The Kesef Mishnah writes, "Umashe Kosav Chayin Chasidi Umas Olam." Says the Kesef Mishnah, "Pelugta Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua." This is in fact a machlokes tanaim between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Perachel uPosak Rabbi Yeshua. So you can see here quite clearly that the Kesef Mishnah learned that this is something of a debate, and that really the view of Rabbi Eliezer is not like that. The view of Rabbi Eliezer is that indeed a non-Jew who keeps a Shev Mitzvah B'Nach has done something admirable, but Olam Haba is still beyond his reach completely. He's lived a good life in this world, but there is no recompense Olam Haba for him, and this is a view which, according to our understanding, is not accepted la'halacha, and the Rambam accepts la'halacha that a non-Jew does have a chelek la'olam haba. There's a lot to be said about Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and why would it be that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua have exactly this difference of opinion, but I think time is running out. What I'd like to show you is the following. So now we've learnt what the original concept means. The original concept, Chasidei Umos HaOlam, is a God-fearing, moral non-Jew who believes in the divine origins of the Bible and believes that he as a non-Jew is obligated to live according to a certain code, and that's how he lives. And you should know that there are lots of people like that today. There are quite a number of people today. You can, those of you who Google to do any searches, if you Google Noahides, Noahides, there is a whole movement of people who call themselves Noahides, and they live according to the Noahide laws. They're non-Jews, but they believe that this is what God wants of them, and they have a very clear idea of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach as a code of life and morality for themselves. The question is there any source in Chazal for the concept of Chasidei Umos HaOlam as it is used today? Is it at all reasonable or acceptable for us, B'nai Torah, to use the word Chasidei Umos HaOlam to describe non-Jews who have done an act of great courage? Or is this just a misnomer? It could be simply a mistake. It could be simply the modern world of the 20th century has simply reinvented this word, borrowed the word from Chazal, but actually it's a mistake. So I've been thinking about this for a little while. I'd like to suggest that may be a source for it, I've got two suggestions, for which I've got 7 minutes left to give you two suggestions. The first suggestion is the Gemara at the bottom of the page from Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, which is speaks about the tragic martyrdom of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradian. Hanina ben Tradian, one of the Tanoim who lived during the times of Roman persecution and who was burnt alive. And the Gemara reads as follows: Mitzauhu Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Hanina ben Tradian shayyoshe ve'osek batayra umakil kihilos barabim. So the Romans found Rabbi Hanina ben Tradian, who was defying the Roman law and teaching Torah barabim, sefer Torah munach le b'cheiko, and he was holding a sefer Torah. Hebiuhu v'karchuhu b'sefer Torah. They took him and they wound the sefer Torah around him. Hikifuhu b'chavilei zemoros v'tituhu b'henaar, and they put him at the stake to burn him. Ve'ifiu sufogim shel tzema v'sharum b'amay v'nicham alibo, and they took sort of cotton wool soaked in water around him so that he should suffer more, that he shouldn't die so quickly, that to increase his suffering, that he should live long enough to really feel the, this shows the depth of cruelty and sadism of the Romans. Kadesh no teichin nishmosa mahera, that he shouldn't die too quickly. Says the Gemara a very interesting side anecdote. There are a few things that happen here. The Talmidim ask him, why is this happening? And he says, Osios Porchim Ba'avir. It's a very beautiful piece of Gemara. But here there's one detail I want to pick out from it. The Roman executioner who was on duty was obviously somebody who felt sorry for Hanina ben Tradian. And he wanted to do something about it. Omalo Klatstoniri. So the klatz, I'm now looking at text number 8, the last piece of text on your sheet. Omalo klatzdenir, I'm not quite sure what the word klatzdenir means, obviously some sort of Roman official. So he goes up to him and he says, Rebbe, it's already an interesting way of addressing someone who is being killed. Clearly he felt some sort of closeness to Rabbi Hanina ben Tradian, he was in admiration of him. Im ani marbe b'shalheves, if I stoke up the fire to make it more powerful, the notel sfogim shel tzema ma'alibecha, and I remove the cotton wool from you, and therefore I relieve you from this suffering. Atom mevi'eini l'chayolam haba, I'm willing to do it if you promise me that by doing this act, and don't forget, by doing this, he's defying the Roman law, and if he's found out, he's likely to be killed himself. So here you have an interesting example of a non-Jew who is willing to risk his own life in defiance of the law of the time in order to save one of the Tanaim from suffering. And he was asking for a deal. He wanted a deal. Will I get a chelek olam haba? It's a nice piece of Gemara this, right? Amaloi, from Hanina ben Tradia, one of the Gedoli Tanaim, says to him, hey, yes, you'll get chelek olam haba. So he says, hishob ali, I want you to swear this to me. In other words, not good enough just to have a conversation on the subject. I want a shavua. Nishbalai. So Hanina ben Tradian makes a shavua to this non-Jew that if he helps him die quickly, the truth is there are all sorts of interesting Rishonim Nachronim on this story regarding Nebuch end of life issues about hastening life, hastening the end of life in situations of great suffering. This is an interesting piece of Gemara in medical ethics, which I'm not going to go into this morning. It's a subject maybe again for a different Shia. But what, for our purposes, what's interesting is that Rabbi Hanina ben Deisa promises this man a chelek olam haba for a single act of courage. So he says in miyad, I'm in the second line here. Immediately, this Roman executioner does what he promised. So that Rabbi Hanina ben Tradian died quickly without all the torturous suffering of being burnt alive. Avhu kofats the nofal latochaur. At the end of the day, this executioner also committed suicide with him together. Not quite sure why that happened here, but let leave that for a moment. What the Gemara records is as follows: Yotzo Baskol v'Omra. A Baskol was heard by the people there. Rab Hanina ben Tradian v'Klatzteniri Muzumani l'Chayolam Haba. That both Rab Hanina ben Tradian and this Roman man were both coming into Olam Haba. They both came to Olam Haba. Bochor Rebbe, when Rebbe, many years later, generations later, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, heard this story, he said, and these last five words on the sheet are, if you like, the punchline of this concept. Rebbe said, Yesh keine olomoi b'sha'achas. Somebody can be keine olomoi b'sha'achas. It's a very powerful concept. Somebody can acquire his world, and the Gemara clearly means olam haba. He can be keine olam haba b'sha'achas. What does this mean? It means this fellow didn't lead a life of sheva mitzvos b'nei nach. He didn't lead a life of morality. He didn't lead a life... Like, nobody asked the Oskar Schindler or Raoul Wallenberg whether they believed in Terem in HaShemayim or whether they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu and Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. They were called Hasidi Umos Olam because Yesh Keine Olama B'Shah. So I think there are two different concepts here which are sometimes confused with each other. There is the concept of the non-Jew who leads a life of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and by... based on his acceptance of the divine origin of the Bible, and therefore he lives the way he lives. That, says the Rambam, is certainly Hasidei Umos Olam, a righteous Gentile who is a chelek le'olam haba. There is an additional concept, something else completely, which is the Yesh Kone Olama B'Sha'a Achas concept, which corresponds to what we call today Hasidei Umos Olam. These 24,000 individuals who have been awarded this order of merit, they weren't people necessarily who lived a moral life. In their own lives, they might have been manuvolim in various ways. In fact, many of them were definitely manuvolim in lots of different ways. They were certainly not ma'aminim. They certainly didn't believe in Terem in HaShemayim. They certainly didn't keep the halachas of morality. But they acquired a chelek olam haba by one great act of hatzalah for Klal Yisrael, and that is Yesh Kone Olama B'Sha'achas. I'll just end where I saw a very interesting... You know, one of the famous commentaries on the Mishnah is the Tiferes Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Lifshitz, who lived in the early 1800s, and was the Av Beis Din of Danzig, and he wrote a Peirush, the Tiferes Yisrael, Yochanan and Boaz, on the Mishnayos. So on the Mishnah, which speaks about Choviv Odom Shenivro Betzelem, at the end of the third chapter of Pirkei Avos. So Rabbi Akiva says, Choviv Odom Shenivro Betzelem, how great is the human being who created the Tzelem Elokim. And then he says, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenivra Bonim Lamakim. And how great are Klal Yisrael, that they're called Bonim Lamakim. Say them, Afroshim. Clearly, if the Mishnah continues to say Chaviv in Yisrael, when it says Chaviv Adam initially, it means even the non-Jewish world. That there's something about the non-Jewish world. So the Tiferes Yisrael here has got a lovely, beautiful, an amazing essay. And in it he writes something very interesting. He says, he expands this concept even further. He speaks about non-Jews who have made massive, positive contributions to mankind. But they are people who certainly have a chelek le'olam haba. He brings, for example, a fellow called Edward Jenner. J-E-N-N-E-R, Edward Jenner, who was apparently in the 1820s, 1830s, he invented an inoculation against smallpox. Millions of people were dying from smallpox in Europe, and there was no cure to it at all. And he invented the concept of vaccination and immunology. Yes, immunology. You know, he invented this concept, right? And by doing so, says Yisrael Lifshitz, he has saved millions of human beings. I don't know if there's anybody else who has personally saved so many people, right? He says, there's no question, says the Tiferes Yisrael, that people like Jenner, right? Hachosid Jenner, he writes, Shal Yodoi Nitzolim Kama Rivavos B'nei Adam Echolim Imisa. Such a person, certainly, it's not possible that such a person's great, massive contribution to mankind is not rewarded by Olam HaEmes. So he says that would also be included, if you like. So, but what happens if this guy in his private life didn't have a good moral code? What happens if in his private life he wasn't living according to Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach? What then? So I think the concept here is the concept of Yesh Kone Olomo B'Sha'achas. And it is possible for a non-Jewish person to acquire Chelek Le'olam Haba through doing some great act which benefits mankind. Interestingly, even though he's not directly benefiting Klal Yisrael, but he's benefiting mankind, and this is something which certainly gets him a chelik l'olam haba. So I think that's what I wanted to share with you this morning on our bank holiday break, that even though we are extremely critical, obviously, about the various non-Jewish cultures and religions around us, but there are the exceptions to the rule. The exceptions to the rule are those members of the Umos HaOlam who are either Hasidic Umos HaOlam in the Rambam sense, that they are living a God-fearing moral life, or they have acquired our admiration through the process which is Yesh Kodeh Olam HaBashar Achas, by having done one great admirable act in their life. I wish you all Kol Tov, all the best.
By the Goyim, so it's easier. Easy for them to.
Thank you,
Olam Haba.
What did you say?
In a way, it's easier for them to be Kona.
Thank you very much.